I love that song. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, singers. This morning, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of John? John chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 27. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? John chapter 14, beginning at verse 27. And I want you to know this morning as we read these words, of course, they are the words of the Lord Jesus. These are some of the last words that He'll be speaking before He's led away to the night in Gethsemane and then the next day the cross. And I believe that stamps them with special importance. But what we're about to read is one of the most tremendous promises, I believe, to the believer found in the entirety of Scripture. John 14, beginning at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Don't you feel that this morning? I feel the Holy Ghost falling all over the sanctuary at the word of Jesus Christ. Going on, you have heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you too much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of Christ, our peace. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm overwhelmed with the own sense of inadequacy I have to deliver your word. But I know that your Holy Spirit is sufficient to the task. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus for you to anoint me to speak your word and give me your thoughts today, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I want your people to be blessed and I want to obey you. And Lord, we're living in a tumultuous world right now. But Lord, thank God that Jesus, you came and you have provided our peace. Let that peace saturate us today, Lord. Let us be reminded of the great peace we possess and how we obtained it. And Lord, we look forward to the soon return of you in person. And Lord, we turn this service over to you now in your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This week, the leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Mahmoud Abbas, stood before the United Nations requesting that Palestinians be given land and be given a status as a nation with the UN. That's truly an oxymoron for him to ask for the Palestinians to have status in the UN, because all terrorist activity comes from Palestinians, all of it, every last bit of it. And then for them to have the audacity to ask for land and status as a nation that they've never possessed anyway. There's not one shred of historical evidence to prove where these Palestinians have ever owned one bit of land. God gave it to Israel. And that's why that little strip of land over there, not much bigger than the size of Rhode Island, the eyes of the world are focused upon it because God claimed it as His capital, Jerusalem. And the forces, the demonic forces behind the Palestinians that are controlling them want to do all within their power to take over Jerusalem. Hence, that portion of the world is responsible for most all of the unrest throughout the entirety of the world. I want you to think of that. That Middle Eastern section is the cause of most of the lack of peace in the world we live in today. That's staggering when you think about how small that portion is of the world, the Middle East. And the Palestinians hate Israel. They hate Israel for existing. They don't even know why they hate Israel. It's the demonic forces driving them. And hence, that section of the world throws the entirety of the world into a state of unrest over the battle for that little strip of land called Israel. That's staggering when you think about it. It's staggering to me that they even gave Mr. Mahmoud Abbas the privilege to stand before the UN and speak, knowing, having full knowledge that the terrorists all come from his organization. They may have other little side names, but at their heart, they're all Palestinians. And they want to destroy Israel, and they want to take over the world. Make no mistake about it. They have no intent of peace at all in any of their plans. They try to use peace, a lying peace, as a means to gain what their ultimate goal is. And that is the destruction of Israel, the eradication of the entire Jewish race, and to rule the world and have Islam rule this world. And it goes to show you, I'm taking time to bring this out, how foolish man is when man tries to bring about peace in this world. I've been humored somewhat over the last 20 years as we've watched president after president, intellectually very brilliant men, most of them. Spiritually, very ignorant men, all of them. You say, how can you make a statement like that about our president's pastor? Because they have tried to solve this situation in the Middle East through political means. And it's not a political problem. It's a spiritual problem. I've watched as President Carter tried to bring Israel and Egypt together at the Camp David Peace Accords, and nearly every tenet of that peace accord has now been broken. It's virtually a useless document. We watched as President George Bush the First tried to bring about peace in the Middle East. He failed. We watched as Clinton tried to bring about peace in the Middle East. He failed. We watched as George W. Bush tried to bring it about. And here's the bottom line. There will be no peace in that area of the world until the Prince of Peace comes, Jesus Christ. A politician will not solve that issue. They would be much better served to pray for Israel. And that's why I'm so concerned about what I see coming from this current administration. Because make no mistake about it, I was watching Sun Life Broadcasting the other night, and I thought Brother Donnie Swaggart stated it very well concerning President Obama's religious beliefs. He said, I don't know that if he is a full-fledged Muslim or not. I personally believe he is. But he said, I don't know if he is or not. But he said, there is no question about the fact that he is very, very sympathetic to the Muslim cause. That's why he's coming against Israel. So, and we need to know, somebody needs to cry out in this nation. God says, those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. That's not political, that's spiritual. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, whatever moniker you want to lay on yourself. What matters is if we support Israel, God will bless us. If we turn on Israel, we have inherited a curse from Almighty God. And there's not enough intelligence, political power, military power, or persuasion to change God's mind if we put forth our hand to do harm to Israel. That's what makes such an affront that the United States supported Mahmoud Abbas speaking. They tried to talk him out of it. But behind the scenes, they supported him addressing the United Nations, asking for this land, asking for more of Israel's land, what God has given. God help us if we support in any way anybody who puts forth their hand to try and touch Israel. If we think we're in a bad mess now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go back to it for just a moment. President Bush's administration had done very well, even handling the horrible situation of 9/11 very well. But when Condoleezza Rice influenced President Bush to allow the Israeli settlers to be pulled from their homes in the Gaza Strip, you can mark the day from that point on in his presidency, he could do nothing right. Everything he did backfired. Jesus means what he said. And we will only be blessed as much in this nation as we will support God's people and God's land. And that's Israel. That's Israel. He's not going to change his mind on it. But as we live in this world this morning, there is so much unrest, so much trouble, and it's all due to this situation in the Middle East. But Jesus has something he wants his people to hear in this last day, speaking to the church. Those who really have their faith in him. He said, peace I leave you with. What a promise to you and I that no matter what we may go through in this world and in this life, we have the promise of God's peace in our hearts. And that peace that he's speaking of goes far deeper. And Jesus even elucidated it. He said, it is not a peace like the world gives. I'm telling you, I'm saddened when I see the unrest in human souls due to the condition of this world. Most of the church is in unrest today. They have no real peace of God in their hearts. Why is that? Because they don't have their faith in the right place. They're looking to political powers to provide peace. They're looking to man-made powers to provide what only God Almighty can give. They're looking, it breaks my heart to see alcoholics bound by alcohol, trying to obtain peace in their souls through every means other than putting their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who can deliver them from alcohol and provide true peace. And the peace that Jesus was speaking of here in John 14:27 is a peace of knowing that you're right with God. There is no greater peace. That is the longing of the soul of mankind. Ever since we come into this world, from the time of our inception, we come into this world as a child with that longing to have peace with God. And we go down every avenue in the world, mankind does, trying to find that peace. Trying to find that feeling in the soul that I'm right with God. That's why Jesus called it my peace. My peace. Let me explain to you how this great peace is obtained. And until it is obtained, the human spirit is condemned to living a fearful, degraded life because there is no peace of God in it. And this kind of peace that Jesus was speaking of here in John 14:27 does not come in a bottle. It does not come in a pill. It does not come from another human being. It only comes from him. It's his peace. And the good news is it is obtainable. That's the good news this morning for every tortured soul who has no peace. The Prince of Peace has come and has made it possible for us to be possessors of his peace. That's good news. That's good news because the soul of humanity is tortured literally until it experiences the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. And the peace he's speaking of is the knowledge that God loves me, I'm righteous before him, and he accepts me totally and counts me as being 100% righteous and holy in his sight. Counts me as being 100% perfect in his sight. How is that obtained? One way and one way only. The very moment the person, that poor, tortured soul, hears of Jesus Christ, and they make up their mind, I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to place my faith and trust in him. A beautiful thing happens at that moment in time. The Holy Spirit of God comes into the spirit of that individual. As their sins are totally washed away in the blood of Jesus, the human spirit that is tortured now is made a fit habitation for the Holy Spirit of God to come and dwell in it. My Lord, and the Bible says the Spirit Himself beareth witness that we are the children of God. Now, you know, if you're in a courtroom setting and the witness is on the stand, he is sworn in and all he can testify to is, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. That's a beautiful scripture when the Bible tells us that the Spirit Himself beareth witness that we are the children of God. At the moment of salvation, when the sin is washed away in the blood of Jesus, and that poor tortured sinner says, I can't stand this no more. I can't take the turmoil no more. I can't take the heavy weight of this sin any longer. Lord Jesus, I heard you paid the price for me on the cross. Will you cleanse me in your precious blood? At that second, that person is made 100% righteous before a holy God. God, give the Lord a hand of praise. Jesus Christ turns to the Father in heaven and says, this is my son or this is my daughter that has just given their heart and life and placed their faith and trust in me, Father, and what I did on the cross. God then announces that name before the portals of glory and announces that individual as his son or daughter, announces them as being 100% righteous and holy in his sight. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit enters that individual spirit. And he bears witness. He begins to tell that person something, in other words. That individual that's been regenerated, that's been born again, that's been saved, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them. And what is he witnessing? He witnesses to the fact of the great transaction that took place in the portals of glory. He begins to continually remind you, it's all right. God loves you. You're not an object of his anger or his judgment any longer. You're not under his judgment. You're under his grace. You're under his mercy. You're under his love. You're under his power. And he has taken up residence in your heart and life. Hallelujah. And that brings, finally, the sense of peace that the human soul and spirit is looking for. That's why Jesus called it my peace. He said, I give you my peace. Not a peace like the world, not like the world gives. I was watching the other day on, and it so sad me, this lady over in England who was a tremendous singer. She had a great gift to sing, I should say. The songs she sang were not tremendous. But her name just jumped out of my head. It's not Lady Gaga. Amy Winehouse. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Yeah. That. How do you know who Amy Winehouse is? Most of you are asking, how do I know who Lady Gaga is? She's like, some of these folks are like a train wreck, okay? You just can't turn away sometimes. You're just like, wow, it's so bizarre and wild. But in any event, I remember reading about this lady who had a tremendous gift to sing. She really did. But some of her songs were just awful. But she had an addiction to drugs and alcohol. And one of her songs discusses it. I even kind of like the tune of the song, to be honest with you. It's about going to rehab. And in the midst of that song, she made a statement. She said, basically, I ain't got 17 days to sit and talk about this, you know, because you guys can't help me anyway. That's the gist. I thought, how true she is. At least she's smart enough to know that they can't deliver. But I read about some about her life and how demon spirits, she didn't know it was that, but she saw apparitions of demon spirits. And her soul was tortured. It was literally tortured. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I don't give you what the world can give you. You see, she had fame. She had money. She had everything, but she didn't have peace in her soul. That's the most important thing you can have in this life, is peace in your soul. The world will give you, and Satan will give you his baubles for a time. But look at the end result in her life. She wound up dead. And you know what they say ultimately killed her? They said she had gotten off the alcohol and drugs. But her body had become so addicted and used to functioning with alcohol and drugs in it that when she came off of them, it caused her to have a heart attack. Think of that. They said they found no drugs or alcohol at all in her body at the time of her death. But her body was so used to having those things to function with that when it was removed from her life, it killed her. And she was tortured, though she had a tremendous talent and a lot of money and was recognized as being one of the great soul singers, I guess, of history. At 26 years old, dead. Now that's what the world gives. That's the best the world can offer you. And in the midst of all of that fame and popularity and money, she was tortured. Her soul was tortured by demon spirits. Think of that. You know, sometimes I know the enemy tries to get us to look at maybe our own individual situations. And he will tell you, oh, look, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of status in life. If he comes to you and tells you that again, just throw this back at him. Who cares? I've got the peace of Jesus Christ in my heart and soul. That's the hallelujah. Isn't that the greatest gift you can have? That's why Jesus said, what I give you is so much greater than anything this world or man can give you. What I give you is greater than money. What I give you is greater than fame. What I give you is greater than political power. I give you my peace, glory to God. Not as the world gives. Not as the world giveth. But a lasting peace where the Holy Spirit is in your life telling you, you belong to God. Continually bearing witness to you. God loves you. And everything's all right between you and God. What a feeling to have when you lay your head down on your pillow at night. And if you don't have this peace in your life, you're living a tortured life. You're living a tortured life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your souls. Looking back over my life, I don't know which was heavier. Now, this is going to shock you what I'm about to say, but I really can't determine which was the heavier load to bear. Number one, being a sinner. Or the second heavy load to bear was being saved and not knowing how to live for God. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. I really don't know. I'd say they were both equal. Because this was what Jesus was addressing in Matthew 11:28 when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let me tell you, it's torture. It's torture, again, to be saved and to be trying to live for God through human effort. That's torture again. And I know I lived under both of them for a long time until I learned what was meant by His peace. That the Holy Spirit speaking on the inside of me, telling me I don't have to perform to get His favor. It totally liberated me. I heard somebody say it this way one time. It was like being born again. You can be miserably saved. It's altogether possible to be miserably saved. And if your focus of your faith is in the wrong place, and you're focusing totally upon your personal, individual, human performance for God to love you, you're going to live a miserable Christian existence. You'll be saved, you'll go to heaven, but you'll be just as miserable in many cases as the sinner bearing a sin load. Now think of that. Think of that. You say, you got scripture for that. I've got Old Testament example for it. Israel, after she was released from Egypt, wandered around 40 years in the desert. That's a beautiful picture of a Christian trying to live under the law, placing his faith in his own individual performance to get God's favor, to get God's blessing. Because we can't earn it. There's nothing we can do. And it so liberated me and makes me want to shout even this morning. When I got the peace of God and I understood what Jesus was talking about here in John 14:27, was that based on my faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I was acceptable unto Almighty God. Hallelujah! That's liberty for the believer. And if you don't live with that knowledge, If you don't allow His peace to rule your life and you don't understand how His peace is obtained, do you know what will happen? The Holy Spirit will be taking up residence on the inside of you, literally screaming at you, God loves you, God's for you, God's not mad at you, and you won't hear His voice. Why? Because your faith's in the wrong place. It's just like you're shutting your eyes and ears to everything God's trying to tell you. And you know what it will lead to if you don't get the right message and you don't understand how this peace that Jesus was speaking of is obtained and maintained? You're going to become so frustrated eventually you quit living for God. You'll walk away with the conclusion, there's no power in this, there's nothing to it anyway. Because I wasn't changed, they told me come to Jesus, His blood had cleansed me, and I'd live a peaceful, overcoming life. Well, that's true if you live for Him the right way. If you live for Him the right way and get His peace in your soul and in your spirit. Until you do, you're a tortured human being. And you can be saved and love Jesus and have your faith anchored in your human performance, thinking, I've got to do things to make Him love me. Man, oh man, that's torture. You know why? Because we can't do enough to make Him love us. When the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that means all of us still. If you read that text in the original Greek, it's in the active participle. In other words, it literally says, all are falling short of the glory of God. That's speaking of you through our own means. But when we come to Christ and our faith is placed exclusively in what He did for us on the cross, He gives us His peace then. He went on and told the disciples, I'm going away. I'm going away. He said, you should be happy. They didn't understand that at that point in time. Because when Jesus was incarnate in the flesh, He gave up the divine attribute of omnipresence. In other words, in human form, He couldn't be everywhere at once. He never ceased to be God, but he willingly gave up some of His godly attributes to take on the form of man. But what He was telling the disciples and what He tells us this morning, I went away so that I could send the Holy Spirit back to be with you and in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you trust in Him exclusively, and you're not looking, I had to train my mind. I had to allow the Lord to renew my mind. It would be the better way to say it. It took me a while to get out of it, of thinking, I did this week, and the Lord's not going to help me preach this Sunday. And, I'd be repenting and sorry, and the Lord had to get me out of that mindset. Not that I still don't repent and say I'm sorry. Please don't misunderstand. But I know now, every day I wake up, He loves me. And I don't have to earn it. I don't have to perform to get it. He loves me on the basis of my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. Man, that's a liberating truth. That brings a peace. This is the peace He was talking about. And He said, this will now be made available to everybody, because once I give my life on the cross, once the sacrifice is made and the sin debt is paid, I will be able to send my Holy Spirit into every individual who trusts and believes in me. Hallelujah. What a peace to have. What a peace to have in this tumultuous world when there is no peace. That's why I'll be honest with you. It's exciting to watch biblical prophecy being fulfilled in the Middle East. But I'm not too awful worried about who the Antichrist is. I'm not too awful worried about what's going on over there. Because as we preached last week, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And we have committed our souls and our spirits unto Jesus. And He has answered with His peace by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. That's why He said, it's good for you that I go away. And He even said it stronger. He said, if you love me, you'll be glad I'm going. Now think of that. If you love me, you'll be glad I'm going because of what I'm about to do in a few days' time. He said, the prince of this world is coming. But I love it. It holds so much authority and rolls through my soul this morning. But he has no hold on me. Hallelujah. He said, what you're about to see happen, what I'm going to do on that cross in a few days, is going to be my proof to this world that I obey my Father's instructions exactly. And the Father's instructions to him were, you go to the cross, which was a horrific, horrific event. The Father's instructions to Jesus was go to the cross. And he proved his total obedience unto the Father by going to that cross. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, the Bible tells us his sweat became as great drops of blood. And in his humanity, he was all man yet all God, but that night in the garden he cried out, the Bible says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In his humanity, he understood the physical horror and the emotional horror and the spiritual horror that he was going to face the next day on the cross. But in exact obedience to the Father, after he prayed that, he went on and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God. Praise God. And he went on to the cross in total obedience to the Father and paid the sin debt by the shedding of his precious blood. You say, why, preacher, do you all Christians go on so much about this precious blood? Let me take a moment and explain to you, my dear brother and my dear sister, that precious blood was sinless. There's never been another one who was sinless. If there had have been, it would have not made the cross necessary. But the cross was totally necessary because the blood that flowed through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless blood. And only sinless blood could pay the debt for the sin of the world. That's why when John saw him coming over the Judean countryside, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah! And it's because of that we have peace with God. Jesus was the consummate example of the peace offering under the Levitical law so that we could have peace with God. You see, mankind thinks very highly of himself, and I'm beginning to close now. Mankind really does. You hear psychologists say, well, what you need is more self-esteem. That's your problem. No, that's the least of man's problem. We're full of pride. That's our problem. We think we know more than God. We think we can handle our lives better than God. Man's problem is never one of lack of self-esteem. You say, well, Pastor, what about these poor people that going out and kill themselves? That's the ultimate in pride. They're saying, God, I know better when I should die, and I know better how to order the ending and beginning of my life than you do. That's pride. It's not low self-esteem. That's the ultimate of holding yourself up above God. But yet some namby-pamby psychologist like Dr. Phil will come in and say, who's just got a problem with self-esteem? And we're going to send you to some counseling. And again, that's the world's peace. That's the best they can give you. Jesus said, my peace I leave you with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My peace I leave you with. And Jesus went to the cross with that sinless blood and took your place and my place as a substitute on that cross. That was what the Father's total obedience to the Father, because nobody else could do it. Nobody else could have done it. He did. I love that old song. It's the favorite gospel song for me that I've ever heard. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I love the words to that song. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. So unworthy of such mercy. But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You've heard me preach it before, but I love to say it. They did not make the nail that could have held him there. He had all power in those hands that had the nails through them. He did it for you. so that he could give us this peace that he's speaking of. Where the Holy Spirit's indwelling us and telling us, God loves you. You're his child. You're my child. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling the believer continually. And the believer, if the believer is going to experience this great peace, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, or will make you free, I should say. Now notice, it's not the truth itself. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is there, but if you don't know it or understand it, you can't be set free. It's the proper understanding of the truth that sets you free and brings this peace. That's to the sinner and to the believer. If you don't know how to get this and how it is maintained after it has been obtained, you're going to live a tortured life still. And you're going to become worried about your status in this life, what you have, what you don't have. You're going to worry about your performance. Am I good enough for God? Is God mad at me? Get that out of your mind if your faith is in Christ and what he did for you at the cross. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind on this today. For let it be a life-changing day for you. Is that if your faith is in Jesus shed blood for your right standing with God, God cannot become angry at you. Now, he will discipline you as a father. But as far as his, I'm not saying it very well. Excuse me. I'm saying this. With your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you are no longer under the eternal fury and anger of Almighty God. But mankind has started to say, thinks too highly of himself and thinks that, well, God would never be angry at me. When we come into this world, the anger of God is burning against us because we're born sinners. We come into this world a sinner. And that's what tortures the human soul, because that knowledge is there even with the sinner, whether they'll admit it or not. 24/7, 365, that knowledge is there. God's angry at me. The judgment of Almighty God, I'm under it. I'm under it. I'm under his eternal damnation because I'm a sinner. That's what the sin nature will tell you. Because God has instinctively hardwired us, if you will, to want to relate to him. He hardwired us to walk in perfect harmony and peace with him. And if that is missing from the human soul and spirit, it's a tortured existence. But what God wants somebody to know today is that if you'll come to Jesus, you'll find his peace. He'll give you his peace. Do not think of yourself above him. We all need him. We're born sinners. But the peace that he gives will bless your soul beyond belief. You may not ever get a lot of money. You may not get a lot of status in this life. You may not get a lot of power. But if you have the peace of God in your soul, you have that for all of eternity. And there is coming a day when you're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We're going to walk streets of gold. We're going to have the mansions. He's promised it. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. Lord, help me to preach this right. And that's why I said and concluded, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't worry about your position in this life. Don't worry about what you have or don't have in this life. Let the peace of God be all that it can and should be to us as believers. Let that peace of the Holy Spirit, as he bears witness, tell you, number one, you're God's child. Number two, you don't have to do nothing to earn it. And number three, you're going to dwell eternally with him and have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Wow! What more could we need? What more could we need? And if you don't have that peace that we've tried to speak of this morning, I can only trust that the Holy Spirit made this point today, because I've got to be honest with you. I feel I preach this as poorly as it could be preached. But if the Holy Spirit is calling you to come and taste of his peace. Don't deny his call. He loves you. He loves you this morning. And you know the torture that's in your soul if you don't have the peace that I've been speaking of. It's there. And hear this. Nothing you can do will make it go away outside of placing your faith and trust in Christ and what he did for you at the cross. There's no other antidote for it. There's no other fix for it. You may think, I need more money. You may think, I need a man. I need a woman. You may think, I need a promotion on the job. I need a better education. Whatever. It could go on and on and on. No. Mankind's, the sin nature of mankind, and it's not the devil. It's us. The sin nature of mankind is insatiable. There'll never be enough for it. There'll never be enough for it. I'm reminded of the great, wealthy Rothschild statement Mr. Rothschild made, who owned the Bank of England. They asked him near the end of his life, they said, you've accomplished so much, you've made so much money, what else do you want in life? You know what his answer was? He said, one more dollar. That was his answer. He owned the Bank of England. Think of that. That's the sin nature right there. It's a perfect example. It's never satisfied. And there's no peace in that. Though he owned the largest mansions, had more money than anybody else at that time in the world, his soul was still tortured and lusting after one more dollar. The sin nature is insatiable. It cannot be satisfied. Therefore, whatever we try to satisfy the longings of our soul with outside of Christ and his peace, it will leave us empty and still tortured. That's why he said, my peace I leave you with, not as the world gives. What the world gives you, its fame, its popularity, its applause, its adulation, it's worthless. It's not going to bring you what your soul and spirit really needs. He said, my peace I leave you with. Christ is our peace. Christ is the only way to obtain peace with God. Christ is the only way to obtain peace, to know that your eternal soul is well. And any attempt to satisfy that torture outside of Christ is like placing a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. And that's the deception in the things the world offers. For a time, they will be very enjoyable. I'm sure I know Amy Winehouse, when she first became popular and started making a lot of money, I read where she was so happy. She was able to buy her mom and dad new homes and new cars. Enjoying that fame for a while. But what would her mom and dad, I'm sure they'd give up that new home and that new car to have her right now. You see what I'm saying? That's the deception in the things that the world has to offer. They will provide a modicum of relief for a very short period of time. But it won't be long before the same old torture comes back around again. And Jesus Christ can set you free and will set you free if you'll come to him today. He is our peace. Believer, know this. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Focus exclusively on Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross. And let the peace of God that passes all understanding, the Bible says, permeate your soul. What does that mean, passes the peace that passes all understanding? It means a peace that we possess. And I didn't understand this scripture, honestly, until about the last 4 or 5 years, as I should have. It means that there is a peace there that is with us, that even on our darkest days, we still, deep in our spirit, know it's all right between me and him. I'm going to be all right. Wow. And it can't be understood. It can't be explained through the human intellect, is the meaning of the scripture. It can't be discerned through the human intellect. It passes human understanding, this peace of Christ, that he wants his children walking and living in. Not just come to a service one time and be reminded of it. I'm praying today, as I believe the Lord gave me this message just moments, literally, before I hit the pulpit, I'd planned to go a totally different message, preach a different message today. He said, tell my people to trust in my peace that is already theirs, that they don't have to earn. I've already given it unto them. Tell them to focus on my peace today. My peace. And Christ is that peace that we have with God. In Him we have inherited all the promises in this Bible. What does it matter if nobody knows our name here on earth? What does it matter if we live in a hut our whole life here on earth? I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with wanting nicer things. If God blesses you with them, that's fine. But if you don't have them, don't spend your life pining over the fact that you don't have them. You've got His peace. And there's people in mansions in the vaunted hills of Hollywood that would give anything this morning to have what you have in your soul. And they try to buy it. They try every method in the world to obtain it. But the only way to obtain this blessed peace is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And then He will give you His peace. Lovingly and freely, without earning, because we can't earn it. If you think I'm going to try and be a good boy or girl and get God to like me, forget it. You'll never do it. We can't be good enough through human effort to obtain God's favor and mercy. But only by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's exactly what this means. I live placing my faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that He is perfect. He is 100% holy. He is 100% righteous. And when I place my faith in Him, God places me in Him. So many times in Scripture, the Word says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That's the greatest prepositional phrase ever uttered, in Christ, in Christ. It means when faith is exhibited in Him, God literally takes your spirit and puts you into Jesus Christ, and now God views you no differently than He views His holy, only begotten Son. And that, my brothers and sisters, brings peace. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand? With heads bowed and eyes closed, and please, no one moving right now in reverence to the Holy Spirit. As this message has been delivered, the Lord has been moving upon some of your hearts. And maybe you've wondered in the torture that's been permeating your soul and spirit, will this ever end? How can I get out from under it? What will make this end? And perhaps you've thought, well, if I get this or I obtain that, or it could be anything, this will go away. And maybe you've gotten a few of those things and the torture is still there. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. All of humanity needs Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the only way for peace to be given to the tortured human soul and spirit. And I'm not offering you religion this morning. Even going to church, the act in and of itself, will not really help you with God. It's what you believe in your heart about Jesus, who He is, the Son of God, and what He's done. Substitutionally taking our place as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and paying the sin debt for us. If you want that peace this morning, and you know it's not there, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you, and I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody's going to call you down front. But if you need and want this peace that I preached about today, and you know your soul is tortured, would you say, Pastor, I need that peace? Just slip up your hand. Nobody's looking around. And I'm just trying to elicit an admission from you to God, to admit to God, God, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need your peace. I'm tired of trying to obtain peace through my efforts. Are there any at all? I need this peace you've preached about today, Pastor. Any at all by uplifted hand. Then I'm going to ask everyone who will, would you come this morning and present yourselves down at the altar of the Lord? Lord, as we're coming today, we need to know the source of our peace. Lord, we need to know how to maintain and be reminded of how to maintain this wonderful peace. And as we gather around this altar today, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to sweep this altar. And I'm asking you, Lord, to deliver us from performance-based thinking. Lord, thinking that you're mad at us, or that, Lord, we're focusing on our performance and it leaves us with an empty feeling because we can't perform, Lord Jesus, good enough. We can't do enough good things to get your favor. The only thing we can do is trust in the holy supreme sacrifice of your Son Jesus. And Lord, that provides us with all the peace we'll ever need. And Lord, let us concentrate today on how that peace is maintained. It's maintained the same way it was obtained. We keep our faith and trust in you, Jesus, knowing that you are not going to judge us based upon our human performance. You're going to look upon us with eyes of grace and mercy and love, and you're going to send your Holy Spirit to give us your peace. And oh Lord, that's really all we need. That truly is. That's not a cliche. It's the truth. Your peace and the knowledge that comes with that peace and how we obtain that peace is really all we need. Lord, that will carry us through any situation, any circumstance. And I know some of you under the sound of my voice this morning, you're facing the trial of your life. But I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to remind you now, have you not for one second not sensed His peace in the midst of your situation? He's been there with you all along. When Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, He meant exactly what He said. He meant exactly what He said. And His peace will carry you through. His peace that He has freely and lovingly given will carry us through. Though this world is in turmoil, though most of the church, what's passed off as the church is in turmoil, to the believer who has his faith anchored exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there will be a continual flow of the knowledge of His peace. Christ is our peace. It's hallelujah, that's so beautiful. Christ is our peace. Don't ever forget that. Let the Holy Spirit indelibly inscribe that upon you today. Heavenly Father, today as we stand at this altar in your presence, I thank you, Lord, for your peace. Though we may not articulate it as beautifully, and I'm not sure anybody could, only your Holy Spirit can impart the beauty of your peace to us. And I'm trusting and believing that's what's transpired today. And Lord, just let us know, and I'm praying that your Spirit would do a work deep in us today, that we would never, ever forget Christ is our peace. In a world of turmoil, with people falling all around us due to the torture that's in their souls, and Lord, this world becoming more and more vile and evil and unpeaceful, Christ Jesus, you are our peace. Hallelujah. And Lord, peace is much more than a noun. This peace we're preaching about today is a person. Glory to God. Christ, our peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us take this knowledge. Let the Holy Spirit take this knowledge deep in us today. For Lord, we're going to need it, being children of the last days. Lord, you said you would return. And Lord, we know that's about to happen. But Lord, never let us forget you're our peace. Christ Jesus, you're our peace. And Lord, let us hear the Holy Spirit clearly today in what He's telling us, so we don't have to perform for this peace. You love us, you give it freely, and we can rest, totally rest. As your word said, we come unto you today, Lord Jesus. Because some of us have been laboring and we're heavy laden, even those of us that know the message of the cross. Let us lay aside our spiritual labor for your favor and let us rest in you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Thank you for your peace. Lord, I'm reminded of that old song today, peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down like a river from above. Sweep over my spirit in rapturous billows of praise. We thank you for your peace today, Lord. Let us walk in it, live in it, and breathe it daily. For Christ Jesus, you are our peace. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I know the Holy Spirit has done so much, I believe, today. I thank you for being in God's house. And just pray his richest blessings on you. On Wednesday night, this last Wednesday night, we started a study on the subject of hell. And I think we started off very good. I believe it will continue to be very interesting as we cover it in the next few weeks. Because somebody asked the question, is there a literal hell? And obviously there is. We learned that from Luke chapter 16 this last week. But we're going to expound upon it more over the next couple of weeks. And come out. You say, well, why would I need to know about hell? Well, we do need to know about hell because it's a literal place. It's not some fairy tale. And Jesus spoke of it himself. You say, give us some quick proof of that, Pastor. I will. Jesus spoke of this literal place himself. So come out and be with us. I believe it'll be a blessing to you to learn what Jesus Christ has delivered us from. Amen. God bless you. Mahari, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother? God.